Today is the Sunday of joy for Advent. But I submit to you that there's a different definition of joy than mere happiness. Pleasure, is, I would say, getting what you expect. You expect to be comfortable. When you're comfortable, that's pleasurable. When you expect to be dry and safe at home in your bed, and when you are, that's pleasurable. You enjoy that. So when the world and your circumstances and your life meets expectations, that's pleasurable. That's comfortable. It's a good feeling. But that's not what joy is. I would say joy is getting exactly what you don't expect in the time you least expect it. Think of our favorite Christmas stories. They all end in a joyful note in unexpected ways. One of my favorite Christmas stories is It's a Wonderful Life. George Bailey, he's got great expectations for his life. He's going to build bridges. He's going to see the world. He's going to fly airplanes. He's in this little town, Bedford Falls. But one thing leads to another. He meets a girl. He falls in love. He works at the broken down savings and loan bank. The Great Depression happens. And he's stuck there in Bedford Falls. All of his expectations for his life dashed. And he thinks, my life is done. What have I become? Finally, because of his silly uncle, the whole bank is going to go under. And there's nothing he can do about it. Where's joy for George Bailey in a situation where nothing meets his expectations, not even himself? Or Charlie Brown. Everybody loves Charlie Brown, our favorite anti-hero, right? Charlie Brown Christmas, everybody expects him to get the flashy tree. Go out and get the aluminum tree, the one with all the lights on it, the pink tree. Go get the awesome tree, the one that's neon green with LED lights. What does he bring back? The Charlie Brown tree. We still call trees that look like that at our house Charlie Brown trees, you know? It's got, you can see the trunk straight through, you know? All the needles are falling off. You know, poor Charlie Brown, you know, I love Charles Schulz, right? Every time he moves the tree, all the needles fall off, right? Everybody lambasts Charlie. Why'd you get the silly tree? That's a crummy tree. It's terrible. Where's the joy for Charlie Brown? How about Ebenezer Scrooge? Right? Well, there's a Christmas Carol. Favorite story, Christmas story. He expects to be wealthy. But over and over through three dreams, George Marley, I think. Jacob Marley, that's the guy. The ghosts come and visit him, and they show him how terrible he is. That he's a terrible human being and that the world suffers because of his existence. And that people are happier when he's gone. Where's the joy for Ebenezer Scrooge? John the Baptist is reminding us today that all of us are George Bailey and Charlie Brown and Ebenezer Scrooge. When he says, Jesus will come, one is coming after me, the Savior, the Messiah, and he has his winnowing fork in his hand, and he will separate the wheat from the chaff. Alexander Solzhenitsyn put it this way. He says, if it were so simple, If it were so simple that the world could be divided into all wheat and all chaff. If only it were so simple, he says. If only there were evil people somewhere insidiously committing evil deeds, and it were necessarily only to separate them from the rest of us and destroy them. But the dividing line between good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being. Which one of us can claim truthfully to be all wheat and no chaff? Which one of us can claim truthfully that we lived up to every one of our own expectations for ourselves, or God's expectations for us? Which one of us truthfully can say that when given a task and we bring back something we're proud of, that other people didn't say, "That's silly, Charlie Brown"? Can any one of us say to ourselves that we never had a miserly moment where we crushed somebody else's hopes? I know I have. The false promise of our world and the false promise of the day, however, is that Scrooge and Charlie and George Bailey all fix it themselves, pull themselves up by their bootstraps, figure it out, try harder, take a 12-step program. Here, have a vitamin water. This will make you feel better. Why don't you try this self-help book, George? Or even worse, what does George do? He thinks, my life would be better. If this town would be better even, he says, if I did not exist. And so he attempts to commit suicide, but is saved by an angel. Sometimes we're even tempted to think that. Maybe it would be better if I just didn't exist. Where's the joy then? We could not have any of those stories. And we could not have our story unless we looked at the chaff. Unless Christ came with his Holy Spirit and fire, with the Holy Spirit blowing it into the wind and with the fire burning it up. We cannot have Christmas without John the Baptist. We can't have George Bailey without the savings and loan failing. We can't have Charlie Brown without his poor, silly, pathetic little Christmas tree. And we can't have Scrooge McDuck. Well, not Scrooge McDuck, Ebenezer Scrooge. There is a Disney version of that, I guess. They're based on the same character. Anyway, we can't have Ebenezer Scrooge without the ghost of Christmas yet to come, which shows him his own gravestone and people rejoicing over his death and dividing his clothes. And yet, it is in those moments, it is in the very times when joy seems furthest away and expectations are dashed to their dullest and dimmest and most dead, that is precisely where Christ enters in. I overheard Esther Giedemann say this last Wednesday that something her father used to say to her. She said, "Remember, the manger is made out of the same wood as the cross. The cross is made out of the same wood as the manger. There's no way forward but through." And so John is inviting you and me today to examine our inner Scrooge, our inner George Bailey, our inner Charlie Brown. Because how do those stories end? I cry thinking about it. George Bailey has nothing except the hope that he's alive and not dead after all. He comes running through the town. Oh, Bedford Falls! He runs into his house. He kisses his children. And all his friends and neighbors come in and they say, George, we discovered you needed help, so we came to your rescue. And they give him money. And they save his bank. Not because anything George did. George was a complete failure. But because of his friends. And what happens? Same thing. Charlie Brown, right? All his friends come around. They decorate the Christmas tree. All it needed was a little love. And they sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. What happens to Scrooge? He wakes up after having been told that he was terrible. And his heart is softened. He gets the Christmas turkey for Bob Cratchit. Bob isn't expecting anything from Ebenezer. He bursts in the door. First he pretends that he's going to fire him or something, you know. But then he says, no, I brought this for you. Surprised he was by joy. And you will find, too, that when the fire of the Holy Spirit descends upon you, and you could admit that you have parts of you that belong here in the chaff heap, in the junk heap, that you can let go of your expectations for yourself and for other people for perfection, that you can acknowledge that you don't have it all together, that this project, this self-improvement project that we're all on, that the world wants us to be on, is a death trap. Then you might just be surprised that Christ comes in those moments, those very moments. And there you will find joy. As Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. Amen. I forgot early service yesterday. So take out your little reflection sheets there. There, you should have had an insert in your happenings. A little insert there. Blank piece of paper with some instructions on the top. And let's take a couple minutes now. Reflect on your Scrooginess, your Charlie Browniness, your George Baileyness, your chaffiness. Maybe your expectations for yourself and your others and others that need to be broken down or have been broken. Write those down now. Crumple them up when you're done. And we'll bring them right up here to where the manger and the cross are made out of the same wood.